ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Now, since it is a prose, I'm not going to sing.
Okay.
I'll just read and you can repeat. So I will read part by part, just like we read English, I will read Sanskrit. It's a little difficult to sing. When you try to sing the prose as a poem, it's hard. So I'll just try to read it. स एवम् अपरिमित बल पराक्रम एकता तु स एवम् अपरिमित बल पराक्रम एकता तु देवर्षि चरणानि शयनानि पतित गुण विसर्ग संसर्गणेना वृतम् इवात्मानं
मन्यमानं
आत्मनिर्वेद इदम्
आहा
स एवम् अपरिमित बल पराक्रम एकदा तु देवसि चरणानि शयनानि पतित गुण विसर्ग संसर्गण निवृतम् इवात्मानं
मन्यमानं
आत्मनिर्वेद इदम् आहा सह
सह
महाराजदेवता एवं दस अपरिमित अनपैरेलल बल स्ट्रेंथ पराक्रमः हूज इन्फ्लुएंस एकदा वंस अपॉन ए टाइम टू
टू
देन देवऋषि
देवऋषि
ऑफ द ग्रेट सेंट नारदा
ऑफ द ग्रेट सेंट नारदा
चरण अनुशयन
चरण अनुशयन
Surrendering unto the Lord of Feet. Anu,
Anu,
thereafter,
Patita,
Patita, fallen down,
fallen down.
Gunavisarga,
Gunavisarga,
with material affairs,
with material affairs,
created by the three material modes of nature. Samsargena,
Samsargena,
by connection,
by connection.
Anirvritam,
Anirvritam,
not satisfied. Iva,
Iva,
like, Atmanam,
Atmanam,
himself,
himself,
Manyamanaha,
Manyamanaha,
thinking like that,
thinking like that,
Atma,
Atma,
self,
self,
Nirvedaha,
Nirvedaha,
possessing renunciation,
possessing renunciation,
Idam,
Idam,
this,
this,
Aha,
Aha,
self,
self.
By enjoying his material opulences with full strength and influence, Maharaj Priyavrata once began to consider that although he had fully surrendered to the great saint Narada and was actually on the path of Krishna consciousness, he had somehow became again entangled in material activities. Thus, his mind now became restless and he began to speak in a spirit of renunciation. Purport by In Srimad Bhagavatam 1570, it is said, Tekva sadhammam charanam bhujam harer bhajan nabakko sapate tato yati yatrakko vabhadrama bhuda mushyagim kvavata apto bhajatam sadharmataha. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, although fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. If one somehow or other comes to the shelter of a great Vaishnava, takes Krishna consciousness because of sentiment or realization, but in course of time fall down because of immature understanding, he is not actually fallen, for his having engaged in Krishna consciousness is a permanent asset. If one falls down, therefore, his progress might be checked for a certain time, but it will again become manifest at an opportune moment. Although Priyavrata Maharaj was serving according to the instructions of Narada Muni meant for going back home, back to Godhead, he returned to material affairs at the request of his father. In due course of time, however, his consciousness for serving Krishna reawakened by the grace of his spiritual master, Narada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 6.41, Shijinam Srimatam Gehi Yogamutta Vijayate. One who falls down from the process of Bhakti Yoga is again offered the opulence of the demigods. After enjoying such material opulence, is given a chance to take birth in a noble family of pure Brahmanas or in a rich family, to be given the chance to revive his Krishna consciousness. This actually happened in the life of Priyavrata. He is a most glorious example of this truth. In due course of time, he no longer wanted to enjoy his material opulences and his wife, kingdom and sons. Instead, he wanted to renounce them all. Therefore, after having described the material opulences of Maharaj Priyavrata, Shrila Goswami in this verse describes his tendency for renunciation. The word Devashri Charnani Shayana indicates that Maharaj Priyavrata, having fully surrendered to the great sage, Devashri Narada was strictly following all the devotional process and the related principle under his direction. In regard to strictly following the related principle, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Dandavat Pranamastan Anu Patitaha. By immediately offering obeisances, Dandavat, unto the spiritual master, and by strictly following his directions, the student becomes advanced. Maharaj Priyavrata was doing all these things regularly. As long as one is in the material world, he has to under the influence of the modes of material nature, guna, visarga. It is not that Maharaj Priyavrata was freed from material influence because he possessed all material opulences. In this material world, both a very poor man and a very rich man are under material influences, for both wealth and poverty are creations of the modes of material nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.27, Pagate Kriyamanani Guru Karmani Sabasha. According to the modes of material nature, we acquire the material nature, gives us facility, the material nature gives us a facility for material enjoyment. Om Jnanati Granthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave. Shri-chaitanya-mano-vishtam sthapitam-yena-bhutale Svayam-rupa-kadamanyam vidati-sva-padantikam Vandeham Shri-guru-shri-yuta-padakamalam Shri-guru-vaishnavamsya Shri-rupam-sagritaram sahagana-raghunatanitam tamsajivam Sadvaitam savabhutam parijana-sahitam Krishna-jaitanya-revam Shri Radha Pada Sagana Lalita Shri Sarnashitamsya. Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kasta Radha Kala Nodhute Tapta Kanchana Goryangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshri Vrishabhani Kute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasya Prabhati Bhuge परितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 निर्माय चेते यदमूष पुरुष भुंते गुणांशो रशोड़चात्मक सोलंकृशीष्ट भगवान वचांसि मे। हरे कृष्णा। हियर इज अ वंडरफुल डेमोन्स्ट्रेशन ऑफ वर्णाश्रम सिस्टम इन जस्ट वन चैप्टर। वी हैव इवन कंप्लीटेड दिस चैप्टर। लेट्स सी हाउ मेनी वर्सेस आर इन दिस चैप्टर। सो दिस चैप्टर हैज अबाउट 41 वर्सेस। So we are almost completing this chapter, and herein Maharaj Priyavrata is demonstrating his opulence of renunciation. Having gone through Brahmacharya and about to end his Grihastha Ashram. So Priyavrata Maharaj is demonstrating the Varnashram system, and specifically here the following of Ashram. Varnashram system is very amazing. The reason is it is following the natural course of social life, which is meant to happen according to one's physical and psychological nature. So Varnashram system is formalization of the natural proclivity of a human being to progress in one's social life. So things are systemized for the progression of a living entity, and in that one can make spiritual advancement and go back home, back to Godhead. So this is Varnashram system, and the beginning of Varnashram system is Brahmacharya. And in this passage, beginning of this chapter, we can see that Priyavrata Maharaj was an ardent follower of Brahmacharya system. Tapasa brahmacharyena shamena cha damena cha tyagena satya shavajapyam yamena niyamena cha. So these are the principles of Brahmacharya, where one is ready to perform austerities in Brahmacharya. One is regulating one's senses and voluntarily accepting different penances, and or to gain control over the senses so that one can focus on Krishna, and thus one can make spiritual advancement. So one is ready to have the spirit of charity and spirit of sacrifice, that is tyagena and satya shaujapyam. So one is ready to be truthful. Satya is a principle a brahmachari must follow. Shaujapyam and cleanliness, both external and internal. Priyavrata Maharaj followed all these principles to make advancement in bhakti. Another important principle that we can see right from the beginning of the life of Priyavrata Maharaj was that he was directly under the authority. The brahmachari has to be under the authorities. So in ISKCON we have the parallel authorities, the authority coming from the management system, so the temple president and other people, so one authority, and also the authority from Guru. So there are parallel authorities which we need to follow, and Priyavrata was following his Guru as a brahmachari, and he was not involved in the managemental authorities at all when he was performing his austerities on top of the Gandhamadana hill. But when the management authorities interfered his tapasya, he was able to discern what to do, and thus he entered the Grihastha Ashram. So the Brahmacharya Ashram is for everyone in a Vedic society, and even now also the Brahmacharya Ashram is meant for everyone, for both attached and the detached. It's not only for the detached. The detached can continue, but attached can get trained in living a simple life following the authorities and developing dependence on Krishna. This is a very important principle a brahmachari has to follow and realize, the dependence on Krishna. One can realize that there is no happiness just by material indulgence. By opulence, one cannot derive happiness. So generally, the ashram situation is very simple and it is meant to be like that. So one can realize that my happiness is not dependent on luxuries. Rather, it is coming from serving Krishna under the authorities. So this is the realization a brahmachari should have. Then the brahmachari ashram is successful. One can continue. Then there is the first class grihastha, who is the one who turned away from brahmacharya, realizing that I am not qualified to go through such a simple life depending on Krishna, so I need to get married, which is considered first class. While understanding the troubles and tribulations of grihasthasram, at the same time accepting it for purification. So that is considered first class grihastha. Understand, okay, I am leaving brahmacharya ashram, I am going to get married, but not in the spirit of enjoyment, rather for purification. So that is considered first class. So here, Premavrata entered grihastha ashram. So many devotees unfortunately cannot have the opportunity to go through brahmachari training, but there are fortunate ones who go through brahmachari training, which is very beneficial because one can develop the taste for detachment, and that's what is going to follow in the future anyway, in a Vedic system or for any serious bhakti life. Detachment, that is the essence that one has to arrive for further progress in bhakti, because that is a supportive system. So a brahmachari may enter grihastha ashram, and grihastha ashram can be a slow path in Krishna consciousness. It doesn't have to be, but generally it can be a slow path in Krishna consciousness, because one's attention is not necessarily completely focused on service. Rather, there are many other activities that can come into picture, and at that time our consciousness can be very much divided. It cannot be one point. It can be for rare souls, but generally it can be divided. And especially when there are jobs, family, kids, etc., it's very difficult to be fully focused. There are exceptions, but generally that is the case. And here Premavrata is at a crucial stage where again he is developing detachment from family life, and he wants to enter into vanaprastha and vaishnava sannyas. So he is in his progression. So here is the important point that we need to understand, that Krishna, for a sincere devotee, will make arrangement to have that detachment in the heart in due course of time in the practice of grihastha ashram. So the grihastha ashram can be very favorable for Krishna consciousness, or it may not be very favorable for Krishna consciousness. In either case, the Lord will make arrangement such that a sincere devotee develops detachment and enters vanaprastha life. Then what is that vanaprastha life? In Krishna conscious society, vanaprastha life doesn't mean that we just leave the city and go to the forest, or one just lives in Vrindavan as a physical location. Not necessarily. So vanaprastha means the focus is only Krishna service. Husband and wife can be together or may not be together, but the focus is only Krishna service. There is not so much of demand for earning money or looking after children. So that is a practical vanaprastha life, focused on Krishna's service. So for a devotee, Krishna will make the arrangement so that if one's family situation is favorable or unfavorable, one will be detached and one's focus will only be serving Krishna. So this can happen in a devotee's life earlier or later. That depends on the devotee and Krishna. It can happen at any point in one's life. It doesn't have a fixed time for this to happen. Say for example, here Priyavrata Maharaj is a good example where his family was Krishna conscious. His situation was Krishna conscious, as it is mentioned in the purport. Still, he developed detachment and he pursued vanaprastha life. So to contradict to that, we can see the life of Anga Maharaj, where he had this rascal son, Vena, and he had such a tough time. So he realized, no, this is not the situation I want to be, so he retired. So that, okay, I am not attached to my family, so it's a good time to retire. So in the middle of the night, he just left the kingdom unnoticed. So there are different ways of detachment, as given in Bhagavad. So here, Priyavrata Maharaj is in a very favorable situation, still he got detached and he went for vanaprastha life. So we can see devotees who are in vanaprastha life only focused in serving Krishna. I heard the story that Vaisheshika Prabhu, he entered vanaprastha life soon after he got married. So only focused on service, nothing else. We can see here, Aniruddha Prabhu, Ajita Rupa Mataji, they are in vanaprastha life because the only focus is serving Krishna. Maybe 30 years, 40 years, I don't know, long time. Their focus is only serving Krishna. This is example of vanaprastha life. So vanaprastha life is not something which is very alien. It is right there. And all devotees at one point has to come to this state, okay, I want to only serve Krishna. Now, enough of money making, enough of family affairs. So even if it is there, it is very minimal. My main focus, energy, etc. To serve Krishna. So this is a realization that all devotees in ISKCON has to come to. So here, Priyavrata Maharaj is demonstrating that. After going through the whole thing, he did his familial duties. He ruled over the kingdom. He did all the administration. He got his children married, his son and daughter, all the leaders are there in the previous verses. And after that, he is now ready to pursue completely the path of devotional service. Now, the point comes. Here, the verse is quoted, Tektva sadharmam charanambujam bhare bhajanna bhakko dha patet tato. So this is the verse quoted right in the beginning of the book. So does that mean that Priyavrata was really fallen down from the path of devotional service? Not really. Even though it's explained, he was fallen. But he was not fallen as he thinks. He was not really fallen, even though it looks like he was fallen. So I will quote the purport and explanation from the fifth verse of the same chapter. So there it is mentioned that a devotee in his progressive bhakti can face two kinds of obstacles. Two kinds of obstacles. One is because of one's own aparadhas. One's own aparadhas can cause obstacles in one bhakti and one can actually fall down. Is this applicable in case of Priyavrata Maharaj? Certainly no, because he hasn't committed any offenses. Then there is another kind of obstacle which is caused by the desire of the Supreme Lord. Okay, so one obstacle caused by one's own aparadhas, and the second obstacle which is caused by the Lord Himself out of His own sweet desire. So the first one we can understand as it is mentioned in the first verse that is quoted in the purport, that is Tektvasa Dharmam Charana Bhujantare. One may fall down because of immaturity in Krishna consciousness, but at an opportune moment one will come back to Krishna consciousness. And the second one is not really a fall down, but it is by the desire of the Lord. And an example is Priyavrata Maharaj. An example is Bharat Maharaj. So there are multiple examples given where there is the desire of the Lord attached to the falling down, apparent falling down. So they are not really falling down. And the reason for that is one is instructive, and the second is they will come back to bhakti with more devotion. So in other words, the bhakti process is accelerated by the interference of the Lord. So we can see the same thing even in case of Bharat Maharaj, because his bhakti process was accelerated, because he only had to go through a very short life of a deer, and by that he got prima bhakti. Here also he had to go through this grihastha life, but after that he again performs intense devotional service and goes back home, back to Godhead. So there are two kinds of impediments, and even though the fall down is mentioned and this Tektvasa Dharmam verse is particularly mentioning a real fall down, and that is applicable, that can be applicable for all of us, that is only instructive. Can you see? So the Priyavrata Maharaj, we shouldn't see that he was fallen maybe, but it is instructive rather than he was really, you know, completely forgetting Krishna, because the purport says he was regularly paying obeisance to his spiritual master and following the rules and regulations. So, Vishwanatha Thakur quotes a verse and explains this point. It's a very important verse. Tathānate māthavatāvaka kuchit bhraśyanti mārga toi prashta samsudha toyābhi rūpā vichara hinti nirbhaya vinayakāni kavamūrtha suprabho. So it is mentioned that, O Mātava, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotee is completely in love with you, sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees. So even somebody who is in complete love for the Lord, they may fall down from the path, but that is not like the fall down of non-devotees, for you still protect them. So Priyavrata Maharaj was protected, and that's why now he has detachment. Thus they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in devotional service. They will step on these obstacles and they walk forward. So they are not crushed by the obstacles, but they cross over all the obstacles and go back home, back to Godhead. So this verse is from the prayers of the demigods in the second chapter of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is to explain the position of Priyavrata Maharaj. So this is the position of Priyavrata Maharaj. Specifically, Vishwanatha Thakur quotes and Srila Prabhupada explains in the 5th verse to the same chapter. So we shouldn't see, when we see this verse, Tektvasa Dharmam Charanam Bhujam Hare, it is applicable to the fallen condition of Priyavrata Maharaj. Rather, it is instructive for all of us, because we have gross and subtle fall downs momentarily, maybe for a few days, maybe for a few months, maybe for a few years, or maybe for a few lifetimes. But in any case, we have to see that the progress that we have made in bhakti is permanent, as it is very clearly mentioned in the purport. Then the same point is mentioned in the 5th chapter of 1st canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 19th verse, which is instruction by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva. The same point is mentioned, different kinds of fall downs. Even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes fall down somehow or other, sometimes, they follow. Somehow or other, but he's not specifically giving the reason. But he may fall down because we are in the material world, as it is mentioned in the last paragraph of this purport. The material influence cannot be discounted. It can be there strongly. He certainly does not undergo material existence like fruity workers. So a devotee going through the so-called material life, even after fall down, it is not the same as that of a non-devotee. A devotee who may left Krishna consciousness, unfortunately, may go through different kinds of sufferings, but it is not exactly the karma. It's not exactly the karma. Okay, I'll read further. Because a person who has at once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. The devotee, even he or she, leaves Krishna consciousness. Still, if one has actually undergone practice of Krishna consciousness thoroughly, then time and time again, he or she will think, okay, I had actually a good time being a devotee. That was best. Even though I am not doing it now, but it was a good time. You know, that is rasagraho jana, one has actually tasted. So Krishna will not really give up. Krishna will not allow them to forget that taste. That will pop up here and there. So this is the mercy of the Lord. And so even a devotee actually falls down and apparently goes through material sufferings and tribulations, that is considered the direct punishment of Krishna rather than one's own karma. So that is the purport to 1590. It's a punishment of Krishna. Krishna is telling you, rascal, you are a devotee, now you want to enjoy, I will not allow you to enjoy the same way that you want. I will bring you back to Krishna consciousness. So this is the determination of Krishna. So the whole thing is very instructive. The Prevarta, even though the verse quoted, the cross of dharma, it's not that he was really fallen down. It is by the desire of the Lord. So he bounced back with more force in bhakti. So that we'll see, he'll continue his devotional service. Then in the purport, there is a parallel to the purport in the fifth verse also. Why? There also, sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is quoted by Prabhupada. So here Prabhupada is telling, look, in 641 it's mentioned, what is that? Shuchinam sikaram kusimatam grehe yoga drashto vijayate. One who falls down from the process of bhakti yoga is again offered opulence of the demigods, and after enjoying such material opulences, given a chance to take birth in a noble family of a pure brahmana or in a rich family, to be given the chance to revive his Krishna consciousness. Shuchinam sikaram kusimatam grehe yoga drashto. And Prabhupada says, this what happened to Priyavrata life, it is a glorious example of this truth. So here we can see, we have to understand the principle that Priyavrata, in one sense, if you see, he went to the heavenly planet. You know, this is a very amazing example. Not in a different body though. Generally what happens, a devotee after performing devotion service and has made a lot of advancement, he may go to the heavenly planet, enjoy, and then come back to the material world, right? So Priyavrata's case, he was from austerities in Gandhamadana Hill, but in the same body he went to the heavenly region, because this progenitors are ruling from the heavenly planet, Janaloka. So it's a heavenly planet. It's more than a Sorgaloka. So it's more heavenly than Sorga, but the purpose is different. So he was ruling the world from there, being a progenitor. He was ruling the whole world. And now he came back to perform austerities. So it's a very interesting verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes. 641. And now in the fifth verse of the same chapter, Srila Prabhupada quotes another verse from the same section of Bhagavad Gita, sixth chapter. Tatratam buddhi samyogam labhade purva dehikam. What happens, a yogi after returning to, okay, left the yoga practice and again returning to this world, then what happens? That attachment to the yoga system is still present in the heart. So tatra tam yoga samsiddhi labhate purva dehikam. In the previous body, how much attachment he had for the bhakti yoga, the same attachment develops in this life. And then very naturally he or she would follow the Bhakti Yoga path. And we can see that in many devotees' life. When you speak to many devotees, especially those who are not from India, many of them, they had some yoga background before becoming a devotee. Really, you can see, becoming vegetarian, practicing some yoga, and then come to Krishna consciousness. Where is it coming from? Purva Dehigam. See, it's all coming from Purva Dehigam, from the previous birth. That's how the system works. You can see many, many devotees, you know, some attachment for all these kind of things, and then they come to Bhakti Yoga because it is Purva Dehigam. So the glorious example is given of Priyavrata Maharaj in an instructional way, because he didn't actually leave the body. He was in the same body and he just went through the ashram and then came back to devotional service with full focus. So we can see that also in this purport, which is very interesting to see that parallel in terms of the previous purport in the 5th verse, where Priyavrata's special position is described. Then come to another crucial point. How come Priyavrata developed detachment even though he went through the material enjoyment being a ruler of the whole world? It is because of serving the lotus feet of his spiritual master. That is the reason. The word Devashri Charanam Shayana indicates that Priyavrata, having fully surrendered to the great sage Devashri Narada, was strictly following the devotional process and already principles under his direction. And Vishwanath Thakur says, Dandavat Pranamastan Anupattaha. By immediately offering obeisance, dandavats, unto the spiritual master, and by strictly following his direction, the student becomes advanced. So Priyavrata did that. And that's why he got renunciation and the opportunity to go back to fully focused devotional life in Vanaprastha Ashram. So this is what we all want. That focus on Guru's instruction. With respect to Srila Prabhupada's disciples and the success of ISKCON, there was a conversation among the intelligentsia in India. How come ISKCON became such a success in such a short span of time? And their conclusion was Guru Nishtha. ISKCON became successful because of Guru Nishtha. Because the devotees were strictly following Srila Prabhupada's instruction and they wanted to please Srila Prabhupada. So the Guru Nishtha is very powerful. ISKCON actually became successful because of Guru Nishtha. And we see the life of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. They were completely focused on fulfilling the desires of Srila Prabhupada. Very clear. They were ready to do anything and everything to please Srila Prabhupada. Whether they had the material resources or no material resources, whether they had ability or no ability, everyone sincerely tried hard to please Srila Prabhupada, and that's why there was success for the moment. Of course, it is by the mercy and power of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. But we can see this principle of Guru Nishtha, and that really helps. If a devotee gives his or her youth and the prime time in one's life in Krishna service by following Srila Prabhupada, it is guaranteed that Srila Prabhupada will protect such a devotee. There is no doubt about it. So if we are giving our prime time in Krishna service, it is guaranteed that Srila Prabhupada will protect. So this is true if somebody is living in an ashram and serving full time, or somebody is completely dedicating one's life, maybe a grihastha, but dedicating for the movement to serve, guaranteed, whichever ashram one is, guaranteed that Prabhupada will save us. There is no doubt about it. There is a story of, I have told the story, I believe, one devotee who gave his youth and he gave his prime time in Krishna service, serving Srila Prabhupada. And then, as mentioned here, he left the movement. Tektva sa dharmam charanam bhajan hare. Bhajan apakva. He left because he was apakva. Means not matured in devotional service. So he left the devotional service. And the time came, he had cancer and he was about to leave the body. He was not that old. He had cancer and he was about to leave the body. And he had his girlfriend next to him. And in the last minute, this devotee, now not practicing, started telling, "Oh Prabhupada, you are here." So he was seeing Prabhupada and then he left the body. When this lady, he went to the temple and told, you know, this happened, you know, I have heard that my partner was into the Hare Krishna before. So Prabhupada will say, somebody who really dedicated to Srila Prabhupada's mission and then actually fallen down, you know, Tektvata dhramam charanam bhujam hare bhajanya pakkuvata pater tato yadi. Still, what happened? Prabhupada will come and save. That is Guru Nishtha. Here, Narada Muni's mercy protected Prevrata. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada's mercy will protect everyone who is sincerely serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. There is no doubt about it. So this is very practical. This verse is very practical. This purport is very practical. This is talking about our own lives. It's not about anyone else's life, but it is about our life. Prabhupada is going to protect everyone. So it is very important to see in our life how are we serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. And even before that, just want to narrate some stories from Srila Prabhupada's disciples and their dedication. I was thinking about the Delhi temple, Chipiwara temple, how it became manifest. We know that train ride in which Srila Prabhupada told Gurudas Prabhu and Yamuna Mataji, right? And who was the third person? Bhanu Maharaj, he was a brahmachari. Then when the train reached Delhi station, Srila Prabhupada told, "Now take your bag, you get off here and start a temple." So they actually got up and they strive to open a temple. This is a classic example of Guru Nishtha. It's amazing how Prabhupada told this. You know, they are, you know, Western devotees. They don't know anything about Indian dynamics as such. No prior experience. Just get out. They must be in their 20s for sure. Just get off the train and, you know, start the temple. So this is an example of Guru Nishtha. And, you know, Prabhupada told Tamakrishna Maharaj, because there were some issues with the Jatha Dhamma, the distribution body, and Tamakrishna Maharaj, just as a joke, told, you know, "Maybe I should go to China and preach." Next day, Prabhupada called him and told, "Yes, you should go to China and preach." "Prabhupada, I was just joking." "No, you have to go to China and preach." So this is Guru Nishtha. It started from that point, and there are so many devotees in China. This is Guru Nishtha. So if a devotee is following the instructions of Guru in alignment with the local authorities, and which is all to please Srila Prabhupada, one becomes very empowered and very powerful. It's a very simple truth. Whatever is pleasing Srila Prabhupada, and if it is actually coming from Guru and the authorities, it is sanctioned by both, and if one actually stick to it, one will become advanced in bhakti. So one doesn't need anything. It's not really dependent on how many shlokas we know. Okay, it's not really dependent on knowledge. But if one is sincere, certainly one will try to read Srila Prabhupada's books. One will chant sincerely. Sadhana will be taken care. But one will make advancement if one is ready to follow Guru's instruction. It is a straightforward point. That is the essence of everything we see. We can see in this purport as well how Prevrata Maharaj was able to make progress as a brahmachari, as a grihastha, and now as a vanaprastha. Srila Prabhupada told Gaur Govinda Maharaj, "You go to Odisha, to Bhuvaneshwar, and preach and build a temple." So Gaur Govinda Maharaj asked, "Can I get some Lakshmi? Some capital, some Lakshmi, some support to go start preaching and opening a temple." Prabhupada severely chastised Gaura Govinda Maharaj for asking Lakshmi. That means that you don't have faith in Krishna. If we have faith in Krishna, why do we need Lakshmi? It will come. How is that? No man, no money. In this country, for any project, two things are required. One, man and money. Human resources for any project, actually, everywhere. Human resources and money, two things are required. Prabhupada didn't give both. But Maharaj went, and then on top of that he got chest, and then Prabhupada actually gave the blessings, and the temple was constructed, an amazing temple. If you go to Bhuvaneshwar, you can see. And then Gaura Govinda Maharaj was struggling there, in the sense, not easy to build a temple or to preach. Gaura Govinda Maharaj was staying in a hut, a literally attached hut. And Prabhupada, when he visited Bhuvaneshwar, he stayed in the same hut with Gaura Govinda Maharaj as a reciprocation of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't say, okay, I want to stay in a house of a life member or in a hotel. He understood, okay, Maharaj is leading such a simple life, and Prabhupada reciprocated. So we can see reciprocation of Prabhupada also there. It's amazing how to see. This is Guru Nishtha. Prabhupada himself, of course, is an example of Guru Nishtha. One instruction, preach in the West, and Srila Prabhupada embodied that instruction. And Prabhupada himself wanted to please his spiritual master. So devotees generally told, oh, Prabhupada, don't go to Russia. So all communists, all demons there, don't go to Russia. Prabhupada said, no, there are so many devotees there. I want to go and preach. Such a short period that he spent in Russia, and now if you see Russia, it's full of devotees. So Prabhupada stretching himself to please his spiritual master. All Prabhupada's life is an example of that. I tell one more story. This story I really like. This is from Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was preaching in the communist block in Europe, and he wanted to smuggle some books into that country. So normally you cannot take any books there, and at the checkpoint definitely you will get caught and you will be punished. So he had a very amazing strategy where he loaded the van with books. It's a big risk. And as he reached the checkpoint, the police or whoever is at the checkpoint, they stopped him. And then he had a pet dog next to him. So according to the rule, you cannot take any pet dog to the other country. So you cannot have any dog or a cat or whoever with them crossing the border. So they said, see, in the front seat you can see the pet dog. You are not allowed to go, because either you had to go back or you had to leave the dog. He said, you know, how can I go without my pet dog? It's my life. So they said, no, you cannot, because that is the rule, you cannot go. So Maharaj said, no, because, you know, I lived with this dog all my life, you know, how can I leave this dog? Then this argument went back and forth, and Maharaj pleading. At one point, they were very resistant. At the final point, Maharaj said, okay, because you are telling, I am letting this dog go and I am just going along. So they were also happy, and Maharaj drove the van and went across the border. So because the whole conversation was going on and the scene was already emotional and intense, they forgot to check the van. So can you see, this is Guru Nishtha, an example of Guru Nishtha. And we can see the devotees who are serving ISKCON for a long time, 30 years, 40 years, example of Guru Nishtha, they are so attached to Srila Prabhupada. They may be direct disciples of Prabhupada, or they may not be direct disciples of Prabhupada, but that is Guru Nishtha. So this is available now in front of us. So Guru Nishtha is not something which was there at Prabhupada's time. No, it is there right now with us. If we want, we can take advantage of this and we can become advanced in bhakti. So it is right in front of us. telling, okay, you want to be a serious devotee? It's given in the purport. Take you to this process of being fixed in service of the spiritual master and be advanced. So when we see ISKCON, Melbourne, I was thinking, we have great opportunity to please Srila Prabhupada. Great opportunity. Because Melbourne is very, very, very ripe. And Victoria, and especially Melbourne, is very, very, very ripe. Any devotee, any traveling preacher who comes here, they tell it is very ripe. Harinam devotees, they say Melbourne is ripe. People are so friendly. You don't get such an amazing reciprocation anywhere else. Very, very friendly. For book distribution, Naveen Nirina Prabhu and Vijay Prabhu, both of them say Melbourne is really good for book distribution. People are really friendly. Vijay Prabhu was one time amazed because I did the whole marathon on Swanson Street. And after I did pretty much the whole marathon, towards the end, he joined me, or I joined him, to go to Swanson Street for further book distribution. He was telling me, now, even though you people distributed books for so many days, still books are going. And it's happening for so many years, still books are going. It's amazing if you think about it. So it's very right. And we haven't really tapped into other parts of Melbourne so much. For one marathon, Ghanashyam Rohan from Sydney was here in Melbourne. So, he did door-to-door book distribution in suburban Melbourne. And he told me, it was just amazing. He was told the people in Melbourne, they are just ready for books. He did huge. He came with, I think, one or two other people. They did huge. So Melbourne has great potential for Harinam and book distribution. It is very, very ripe. Because we have fed them enough. They understand us through their mouth, through their tongue, through their belly. So it's very ripe. So we have that opportunity, and it's a sure short path to please our spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada. So if we want Guru Nishtha, it's already there. In front of us. Only thing, we have to take that opportunity. Probably this may not be the right time. We may have to wait for 1 or 2 months. But it's going to come. The time is going to come. That opportune moment is going to come. And final point, Vishwajit Thakur mentioned, one makes advancement by paying obeisances unto the spiritual master. So as an etiquette, whenever we see our spiritual master, initiated spiritual master, we have to pay obeisances. That is an etiquette. By that one makes advancement. Just saying obeisances. Not only that, but that is also part of it. So when we serve our spiritual master, we may serve many times, but spiritual master sometimes says, if you are serving every day, okay, morning you pay obeisances, you don't need to pay all the time. As a practical purpose. Then we don't need to. So I had this experience. So he says, okay, morning you pay obeisances and that's enough. Not each and every time you see, you don't need to. So, but this etiquette remains. So in conclusion, I'll summarize whatever I spoke. First, I spoke about Varnashram and the progressive ashrams, which is a natural progression, and Priyavrata is demonstrating that, and he is not really fallen down, even though apparently it looks like. And by the mercy of his Guru Nishtha, now he is back to devotion service with full focus. With this, I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments.
When you said that he went back to... When you said that he went back to devotion and said he started, do you mean that he's following the order of Lord Brahma, for Krishna being engaged of a management position is more service?
Yes, because his life was interfered by Lord Brahma, the universal managemental authority. So it was by the desire of the Lord. Brahma interfered because that was the desire of Krishna. So for Priyavrata to get married was the desire of Krishna.
It was his service or not?
It was his service, of course.
So why he went back to service, he was engaged in services work. So he wasn't needed to be back to service. He was already.
Yeah, he was serving, but it was not the full absorption that he wanted. So for every devotee, at one point need full absorption in Krishna service. Meaning in hearing and chanting. In hearing and chanting.
Changing service
perhaps? Yeah?
Changing service perhaps?
No. Yeah, one sense is changing service, but not just that. For any devotee, it is Ante Narayana Sruti. So at the end one has to come to the platform, one is just focusing on hearing and chanting, Nirjan Bhajan. That is the end of everyone. Srila Prabhupada says, this is my Nirjan Bhajan. What one? The final few months he was on the deathbed. So everyone need to have that Nirjan Bhajan. For Priyavarta, this is his Nirjan Bhajan. So he was preparing to go back, come back to Godhead. So everyone has to come to that platform where only serving Krishna.
It has to be like that. No, there, for example, what about those who are dying in battlefield service or whatever
They are also fully fixed in Krishna, like Bhishma Pitama. Srila Prabhupada is an example. He died in the battlefield, but in the battlefield, final moments or final few months as considered the Nirjan Bhajan. He was preaching, he was giving purport to Bhagavata, but still that is considered the Nirjan Bhajan. So all the devotees have the final, it can be a short period or a long period, were completely focused. Yes. So it is different according to the time, place, circumstance. In case of Priyavarta, is different. Longevity, how many thousands of years he served in the management affairs. And then, now is the time for complete focus in hearing and chanting. So he was actually going to do hearing and chanting.
As you said, it's more instructive because we are in this stage.
Yes, it is. It is. So we can see in a devotee's life the same thing. Even in a devotee's life, we can see. Even the last moments, devotees just focusing on hearing and chanting. May not be very long, but still, at the end, it is hearing and chanting.
Based on that, Sir Narada Muni quotes to address the knowledge of the attention origin. So one who stays in the nectar cannot help but come back, for sure. So I was thinking, when you say that all four lamps are there,
You can say that. If you can say that in the sense the devotional credit that one has accrued, it cannot be lost. So the effect has to come at one point. It can be a short period, it can be few years, it can be one lifetime, it can be many lifetimes. But that credit is never lost. So that will come back to effect at one point.
And
that
time will come back to Krishna consciousness.
Yes, Krishna will give an opportunity. Again, the free will is there. Krishna will give them an opportunity again to make progress. Then how they use, that's a different thing.
So
again they can come in the ascension of the devotees. Still, again they can leave if they want to. It's not that the next time they will come back to God. There is no such guarantee. But Krishna certainly will give an opportunity. And they may make some progress, they may leave again. These kind of things can happen, but not recommended. So adding to the first question. Yes, certainly this is the social system. One is going through different ashrams. He is demonstrating that. And it's very instructive. Because he was apparently enjoying life, as it is mentioned in the previous verses, right? You read the previous verses, he was doing all this universal affair, this, that, getting the children married. He was basically going through varnashram. But it's not exactly like a fallen person. It's not. That's what I made the point. He was not fallen. That's especially it's mentioned in the fifth verse of the same chapter. He's not really fallen. So it's an arrangement of the Lord. So that the universal affairs are taken care of, and after that he can actually come back to the focus bhakti, where it's hearing and chanting.
meditating, basically Priyarada was meditating before entering the ashram, so he can come back to that. Why? Then it is going back to Godhead. We don't have the opulence of spending, you know, 5,000 years in meditation or hearing and chanting. One can do the service and, you know, maybe final 3 years when one is practically invalid, one may be completely focused on hearing and chanting. That's the reality. And that will happen to everyone, generally. Everyone has to go through that phase, right? Where one cannot do any physical service. One is simply absorbed in Krishna. So it is. This is showing systematic, because it is Satya Yuga. And we are in Kali Yuga, in a bad condition. Yes.
Prabhupada mentioned that, you know, Priyavata Maharaj, so he entered into Rastha because he is doing instruction from Brahmaji of his father and Dvadivisa of the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
But whereas most of the people who enter into Grahastha, so it all starts with acquiring, you know, dana, jana, and also sundari to enjoy, and also then what the world sees that as a success. If you don't have these three things, you are a failure.
So, the question or a comment?
Yeah, so that is the, it seems like it may not be karma or
the simple point. Generally, for people to get married, you don't see Brahma coming in the on the swan carrier. You don't see, you know, the who was that Swayambhuva Manu coming. You don't see Narada Muni. Generally, it is Prakrite Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashah Ahankara Mudhatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. It's all based on when there is sufficient lust, then, or one is hit by Cupid's arrows. Then one has to get married. That is.
But there is no spiritual master also.
Yeah. No, because this condition is very strong, so spiritual master will not interfere, but get married in a Krishna conscious way, so that one can make progress. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.